Hello, and welcome to Parenting in the 21st Century. I'm Jonathan Little. Jeff Schott is an author, researcher, and counselor who has answers for hard questions and for troubling issues facing today's parents and their kids. Jeff, talk about your background a bit. What drew you into working with parents and guiding them through the challenging times in parenting?
You know, honestly, Jonathan, is kind of the last thing I expected. When we started the research, we were looking at why so many kids were struggling in the transition to college. And so kind of the last place I expected to end up was back talking to parents about how we approach and work with our kids. But the research chain just kind of led us down the path from kids not being ready and screaming for freedom when they leave home and head to college, and that having them in the wrong mindset and pointed in the wrong direction.
So you had a relationship with college-age kids who were struggling and things weren't working out and they were dropping out of school. And you said, we better take a look at this. And you started with research.
Yeah, we started with research because I used to be on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ. So I'd spent a lot of time on the college campus, and things had changed so much in the 10 years I was away. It was staggering. And the staff on the campus that were working with students were saying, we're not qualified because we're running into all these kids that are cutting and have eating disorders and substance abuse. And I'm like, these kids are all coming out of churches? And they're like, yeah, they're all coming out of churches, and we don't know what to do and how to work with them. And so the leaders were telling me they didn't feel qualified to even be doing the job they were doing. And that's what really, I'm like, wait a minute, what has changed in the last 10 years? And that's what kind of sent me on the quest to sitting down and talking to students and going, what is going on?
So you would expect this with faith-based kids getting to college, cutting and
they'd walk on a campus and be away from mom and dad for the first time, and for the first time feel like they had the freedom to talk about the issues that were really going on in their lives. And what we discovered was a massive percentage were leading a dual life that their parents had no idea about.
Dual life, expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, in the research sessions, we'd put groups of 30 to 50 in a room. And we'd sit down and just talk to them about the different issues going on in their lives. And they came up, and they're the ones that coined the term dual life. They coined it, they called it leading an intentionally deceptive dual life, knowing how to act and what to say with mom and dad to keep peace at home, because most of them won't go active rebellion. Most of them will go hidden dual life. And then knowing what to say and act at church and around teachers, but oftentimes working together to subvert the controls and consequences and ideas that parents had for parenting, they would work together to get around those and get to the parties and get to these things.
So did the hypocrisy in the lives they were living begin to turn on them, or what?
Well, that was where we got to the discussion, was the number one thing that was turning them off related to the faith was the hypocrisy within the youth group or within the Christian school. It wasn't with the adults, which is what I would have expected coming in doing the research. It was the fact that everybody in the youth group, 70, 80, 90% were leading an intentionally deceptive dual life. And I had kids talking to me about the reason I don't go to youth group anymore is every time I do, I get drugged back into the stuff I don't want to do. And so the faith isn't working. Look at the mess. It doesn't work. So why should I believe it? Because these kids are experiential. They're not knowledge, true science-based like our generation.
So this was a major revelation to you and other people working at Campus Crusade at that time. When you discovered this dual life and even their willingness to talk about it, students' willingness to say, well, this is what's been happening, and I've kept it from my parents, and I've kept it from people like you, but I guess now I'm troubled sufficiently that I need to share it and somebody can help me.
I don't know why they share with me. Okay, I can't. I'm still in awe of what students will tell me and what parents will tell me. I'm on a plane flying from here to Florida, and I've got a mom sitting next to me, and she asks what I do, and I'm like, you don't want to know. And we get into the conversation. Next thing I know, she's crying and going, I've never told anybody this in my life. Why am I telling you? So I don't know why kids open up to me. I can't tell someone how to do it, but...
Well, being non-judgmental, I presume, is part of it, right? And being open to hearing anything and not being shocked by what you hear.
Right. And it's just by asking the questions, I've found that no one's asking the questions. No one's really asking how they're doing, what's going on inside. And it's a huge mistake that's happening, I think, across all spectrums of working with kids and parenting and et cetera.
The thing that stuns me is how can there be this significant divide between the kids and the parents not really being clued in at all to what the kid's life is like when they're not with mom and dad?
Yeah, I think in the research, that's one of the things that challenged me as a parent is, I would listen to the kids. And at first I wanted to argue with them. And then the more I listened, the more I realized they had some really valid things to say and a bunch of things that really shocked me and would make me go home and talk to my own kids and say, do you see me the way these kids see their parents? And my daughters, my teenage daughters at that point, because I have four kids, aged right now 21 to age 8, would say, yeah, that's exactly how I see your dad. And I'd go, oh my goodness, this is not good. And what I realized is that the parenting paradigm we've adopted is all downhill. It's I'm right. I know what's best. Do it my way or maybe the highway, depending on which house you're in. And the reality is there are a lot of hurts that are happening that parents are unwittingly, well-meaningly inflicting upon kids, I found, that build up inside our kids and begin to build an emotional wall between us and our kids. And then their attitude and their behavior sours towards us. And then we make assumptions or draw conclusions based upon that behavior that we see. And we go after that behavior. And what we don't discuss, what we don't realize is there's more going on underneath that behavior. And it's that is causing all the issues.
So we're not looking to the heart and the mind and the soul of the kid, we're looking at their behavior and say, we're going to get a grip on this and get it fixed.
Yeah, we're going to do behavior modification, basically. That's, that's how shallow I think our parenting strategy was, mine was. That's where I was at with my kids. Mm-hmm. And, by age 9, our daughter wouldn't want to admit she was wrong. She'd blame the dog, the sun, the moon, the wind, her brothers, her sisters. We'd have to argue 35, 40 minutes to get her to admit she had actually done something. And that caused us to believe she was manipulative. It caused us to believe that she was had a problem with lying. And what we discovered is she had decided to hide things because she didn't feel safe to bring things up with us. Hurts that we had inflicted on her in the process, trying to instruct her, trying to help her go in the right way, that then had shut her heart down towards us. She became hard. She became started to hide things. And then we saw that as lying, so we went after the lying and didn't really see what was going on underneath.
There was a breakdown in communication that was pretty severe.
Yeah, and it's kind of ubiquitous. I work with kids all across the country, and very few feel safe to talk to their parents about much of anything serious, and even less feel safe to say, hey, mom and dad, you're hurting me.
So they take it to their peers and they get into some of these negative behaviors. You talked about cutting. What other issues did you find when you were doing the research?
You name it. Just about any escape behavior. Escape behavior could be, playing video games. Escape behavior can be hiding in my room and doing social media or doing video games in my room. A lot of parents are talking to me about, my kid's always in the room and I'm trying to force them to come out. I'm like, well, have you asked the question of yourself, why are they in the room? And what I've found is because they believe if they come out of the room, they're going to get run into another issue, given what's going on with the adolescent brain and all of that, which we need to talk about. And so they hide and they need to feel like they're accepted and loved somewhere. And when we're constantly riding them on their bad behavior and the things they're not doing or their lack of motivation with school or whatever it is, they decide once the adolescent brain kicks in to hide in their room.
More with Jeff Schott on Parenting in the 21st Century coming right up.